Radio Prague News. President Václav Klaus has acknowledged the government's plan to cut and tax his salary. Czech police officers will be asked to take a 10% pay cut next year within the government's planned austerity measures. And Prague councillors are planning to reopen debate on a plan which would see homeless people evicted from the city centre. President Václav Klaus has acknowledged the government's plan to cut and tax his salary, saying that the economic situation called for belt tightening at all levels. In an interview for Mladá Fronta Dnes, the president said that his office already operated on a modest budget and would further reduce its expenditures. Even so, the president could not resist a jibe at the finance minister, saying that he had been somewhat amused to find that in the 10 million strong Czech Republic, the head of state would be asked to make the biggest sacrifice. The cabinet has proposed reducing the president's monthly salary, which amounts to 196,000 crowns, by 5% and levelling a 15% tax on his income. Ex-president Václav Havel will also see his 50,000 crown monthly income taxed. Under current law, the president alone is exempted from tax duty. Czech police officers will be asked to take a 10% pay cut next year within the government's planned austerity measures. 10% cuts have been ordained for all ministries, but it is up to the institutions themselves to decide whether to lay off staff or implement pay cuts. Police President Oldřich Martinů told Czech television on Sunday that he was not in favour of laying off staff. He said the cost cuts would also mean that the police would have to restrict some of its activities in the future. Prague councillors are planning to reopen debate on a plan which would see homeless people evicted from the city centre to a specially allocated place in the suburbs. Councillor Jiří Janeček, who drafted the proposal, says it would have numerous advantages, letting homeless people live as they like without being bothered by frequent police checks and ordered to move elsewhere. Mr. Janeček describes the homeless colony as an oasis, where the homeless could be taken by minibuses and where special workers could provide assistance and prevent conflicts. Human rights activists and NGOs are shocked by the proposal, saying that it is a plan to build a ghetto from which homeless people would find it impossible to return to a normal life. Former Social Democrat leader Jiří Paroubek has said he has no ambitions to return to high politics. Speaking on a televised debate, Mr. Paroubek said he would not be running for the top party post at an upcoming party conference in the spring and named David Rath as the man he would most like to see at the helm. The former leader, who has been widely blamed for the party's poor showing in the last general elections, said he would focus on his work as a deputy, write a number of books and maybe establish an internet magazine. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
You're tuned to Radio Prague Weekend Programming with me, Jan Wellinger. Coming up in today's show, your questions and comments in another edition of Mailbox, hosted by Pavla Horáková. Some of the questions looked at this week include the unemployment rate in the Czech Republic, as well as the digitalization of Radio Prague. Then that will be followed by our reporter's view from the Czech capital, Letter from Prague, and you'll have a chance to hear a fresh edition of Czech Life, this time looking at how Czechs are furnishing their apartments or homes 20 years or so after the fall of communism. Let's get started, though, straight away with your questions and comments in Mailbox, hosted by Pavla Horáková.
Hello and thanks for tuning in to Mailbox, Radio Prague's weekly show for your views, questions and comments that never cease coming. Our regular listener Rassem Ben Brahim from Tunisia would like to know,
what is the unemployment rate in your country?
According to latest figures released by the Labour Ministry, the Czech Republic's unemployment rate in July slightly increased compared to the previous month and reached 8.7%. There were just over 500,000 jobless people at the end of July. That is almost 5,000 more than in June and just under 20,000 more than in the same period of 2009. Analysts say that they had predicted the increase, attributing it to young high school and university graduates leaving school and failing to find employment. Bezazel Ben Ferhat Rabah from Algeria sent us this question.
What is the name of the biggest beach in your country?
That is a tricky one, as the Czech Republic is a landlocked country and therefore has no popular seaside resorts. However, there are a number of river dams that have become popular summer resorts on the Vltava, on the Dyje in South Moravia, or on the Svratka River in the Moravian capital Brno. Also, former sand quarries in the Elbe Basin, north and east of Prague, now filled with water, have beautiful sandy beaches. Perhaps the most popular beach in Bohemia is the one at Máchovo Jezero, a lake named after the romantic poet Karel Hynek Mácha, north of Prague. Swapan Chakraborty from India asked a question concerning our broadcasts.
What about the digitalization of Radio Prague? What is the plan of the Radio Prague Authority about Digital Radio Mondiale, or DRM? Are they planning to set up a DRM transmitter, or is the technology rejected by them?
As a matter of fact, Radio Prague did broadcast digitally using the Digital Radio Mondiale, or DRM, system between 2006 and 2009. It broadcast in German and English twice a week, with the signal from the Rampisham transmitter in the UK covering Western and Central Europe. However, due to the budget cuts earlier this year, the broadcasts were discontinued and there are no plans at the moment to reinstate them. Thank you for those questions, and please keep them coming. And finally, for our monthly quiz question. Regular listeners may remember that our mystery lady more than 2 years ago was Sofia Chotek, the wife of Archduke Franz Ferdinand, who, along with her husband, perished in the Sarajevo assassination in 1914. They were shot while sitting in a car. There was another person of Czech origin in the car, and he is our mystery man for this month. Please send us his name to english@radio.cz or Radio Prague 12099 Prague by the end of August. I'll be looking forward to your answers, reception reports and questions. Until next week, take care.
Pavla Horáková with another edition of Mailbox. You're listening to Radio Prague, and our website is radio.cz for another chance to see those stories and more. So please do visit us on the web. It's easy, radio.cz. We turn now to our reporter's view from the Czech capital, this week done by Chris Johnstone.
I've recently come back from a few days in the town of Český Krumlov, and it was an eye-opener. I should explain that my last visit to this small South Bohemian jewel was around 15 years ago. Then there were around 2 hotels and around 3 boarding houses. The main impression was of dilapidation created by the peeling or already departed dirty yellow-orange plaster on most of the buildings. Today's town looks totally different. Only a few ruins, mostly away from the centre, down by the river, recall how things were. What is more, every other building has been turned into a boarding house. The intervening years have witnessed a total makeover rather than just a facelift. In addition, it was the start of Easter, with the tourist season just about to commence. The buses were already beginning to disgorge the tourist hordes, and it became pretty clear that the narrow streets of Český Krumlov would soon become a Charles Bridge surge throughout the summer. The tourist income has clearly paid for the town's much-needed restoration. But had the town lost its heart as the price? It is all too easy for one tourist, myself, to try and stand aside and complain about the pollution caused by others. But one local multilingual owner of a second-hand bookshop clearly believed the town had made a pact with the tourist devil and not always come out on top. No locals lived in the centre anymore. They were all on the outskirts, he explained. The town had become a factory for making money. And stupid compromises with mass tourism were easy to find. Intelligent ones were a lot more difficult, he added. There was also the added problem for him that the tourists themselves seemed to be changing, less Europeans and more Asians. And apart from the occasional exceedingly polite Japanese print buyer, most of the Asians were not big buyers of the old Czech, German, French and English books, which mostly lined his shelves. At an antique store not far away, the prices were so inflated that they made Prague look cheap. The attendant did not even bother to reply to my greetings. She had sized me up as too poor to do more than look at her wares. But don't get me wrong. Most of the people we met in Český Krumlov were charming and helpful. Foreigners speaking Czech were clearly a bit of a rarity. I will duck any broad generalizations about the pros and cons of tourism. What I will say in Český Krumlov's favour is that it has at least attempted to deal with some of the more invasive aspects. There is, for example, a ban on the garish advertising that so often pollutes Prague. Cars and coaches are also, for the most part, excluded from the town centre. I will certainly sometime soon go back to Český Krumlov, probably in the tourist down season. But I hope at least some of the old ruins might still be there as a reminder of what was.
Chris Johnstone with Letter from Prague. Don't forget, if you'd like to comment anything you've heard in today's show, it's easy to do so if you're online. The address to write to is english@radio.cz, or if you prefer, send us a letter or postcard to our street address, which is Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague 2, the Czech Republic. We're always happy to hear from you. Now, we're moving up to our final portion of today's program, which is another edition of Czech Life. Long gone are the days when Czechs had very few options when it came to furnishing their homes. In the grey old days of the planned economy, most flats looked very similar indeed. But with the end of communism, many Western chain stores flooded the market, and of course today there are many, many more items to choose from. So, how have the Czechs been influenced, and how are they furnishing their homes now? How has it changed? In this edition of Czech Life, Sarah Borovka takes a look inside people's homes.
I had a clear idea about the table I wanted, which is this wooden table from Indian wood. You can hear how it sounds, and I knew this is going to be the centerpiece of the living room because I like cooking, and I wanted to people gather around the table.
Nadia Černá, a Prague resident, recently bought an apartment in the city's Bubenec neighborhood. She likes traveling to remote countries, adores books, and says she wanted her first own apartment to reflect that.
And then I found a piece that was matching the table, which is the bookcase. But actually it feels a little bit smaller than I expected because I have really high ceilings. So I would still love to find some special piece for books because I love books and it's something very important internally to me. But as I said, I haven't found the perfect piece, so I will keep on searching. And when I was trying to arrange the furniture in my apartment, I knew it wasn't going to be done at once, but that it was going to be a slow process of somehow the things finding their own place.
Given that Nadia's taste is rather exotic, I asked her if the Czech Republic is still sparser on options for furnishing than other countries, some 20 years after the end of communism, or if the Czech furniture retail has fully caught up to Western countries.
I cannot really compare how it is in other countries of like Europe or let's say the US. Maybe probably the options are like you have more options there than here because I feel that Czech people are probably quite conservative and the style that I like, which is like Asian furniture, tends to be quite expensive here, but you can find some good deals if you really are looking hard and if that's really what you want. But definitely I would say like I had like, you know, amazing choice in comparison to my parents, because I still remember like when my mother tells me about how she was going to pick her kitchen and there was a choice between a green kitchen or orange, and that was about it. Like the shelves were completely like the same style, only the color, and you had to bribe somebody to get the orange color because it was much more liked than the green.
One Czech company that survived the days of the planned economy and is still around today is Ston, which started out as a manufacturer of bentwood chairs. Milan Dostalík is the company's marketing director.
The history goes back to 1861 when the production, the bentwood production, was established by Michael Thonet, and up to the First World War it could be called Golden Times.
Ton managed to survive not only two world wars, but also the communist regime under which the firm was nationalized and renamed from its original Tonet to Ton. But even after the Velvet Revolution, it faced difficulties when foreign brands and mass-manufactured furniture became available on the Czech market. How is the situation now? That's the question I put to Mr. Dostalík.
I think two directions. I think the Western brands were recognized to be of good quality, a little bit higher price, and we were short of it. So everybody was looking forward to having something like this. But in the meantime, the brands like IKEA or these chains were regarded in Western to be low cost, to be for the students, to buy the first furniture. And this is happening actually right now here. So these change, which are aiming at the low cost budget, they are quite successful, and they push us or get us out of the market. But now we are competing with standard Western companies, which are very good in design and quality. And people, I have to say, are quite happy. I think they don't make difference if they buy a product from Germany or Czech Republic, if they believe it's of good quality, good design, and reasonably priced.
IKEA's branch in the Prague suburb of Zličín is packed even on a weekday afternoon. And it does not come as a surprise that Czech companies find it hard to compete with the popular Swedish furniture giant.
This is my favorite. It's called 365 Plus. And 365 Plus means this product probably you will use every day in your house.
Inge Juliasson shows me his favorite IKEA product, a pod from the company's 365 Plus line, at one of the company's locations in Prague, Zličín. He is IKEA's head of marketing for the Czech, Slovak, and Hungarian markets. He describes IKEA's arrival in this part of the world.
We celebrate our 20 years anniversary next year, so we opened in 1991. The first small store actually was not this one. This one we opened in 96, the Zličín store where we're sitting right now. I have to say that here in Czech Republic, as it has been in most countries, IKEA and Turin, we have been very welcome. We open arm, and people really like what we can offer. I guess also IKEA came with something completely new after the Velvet Revolution, and we could offer wider choice that maybe was not so available before.
So in IKEA's nearly 20 years in the Czech Republic, have Czech customers picked different favorites than those in other European countries? Is there anything unique about shoppers here in this respect?
We can say that in IKEA there are some certain products, the most IKEA unique products, like Klippan sofa, like Billy bookshelf and Besto bookshelf and Pax wardrobe, and this big product names, and they selling as good here as they do in all other countries, so there's no difference. I think more it is depending on people's situation at home, if they have preferences for more practical things, or if you live in a small space, you probably have more need for smarter solution. You cannot be so generous with big furniture and so on. But basically, when it comes to taste, I cannot see any difference from the country where I worked before compared to here.
Prague resident Nadia Cherna has a weakness for unique and exotic furniture and wants her place to reflect who she is. But she says that she is not against including some IKEA products in her setup.
I like IKEA, and I think it's like the typical thing that Czechs go for, and it's not so pricey, and you can find some really nice pieces of furniture. And actually my idea was to combine it so that it's not clearly visible that it's IKEA flat, because that's something that looks uniform, and that's something I didn't want to have in my apartment because I think it reflects your personality, or at least I feel this personal connection. So I knew I was going to mix both styles, or I think it looks great if you have some IKEA stuff like my sofa, for example, which is really practical and looks nice and it's modern. But then I had a clear idea that it's going to be assembled from like different pieces of furniture that will slowly somehow, like, the style would evolve.
While many of IKEA's affordable products, such as the Billy bookshelf, have become so ubiquitous in people's homes that you could call them a classic in their own right, they still do not have the same status as Ton's best-known piece, the number 14 chair, made from bent wood, which Czechs have nicknamed Tonetka. The company's marketing director, Milan Dostalík, again.
I think actually this chair, number 14, celebrated 150 years last year, and it was a big comeback of this chair and all the bentwood furniture. So it's still selling, even it's not the high volume chair for us.
What are your best-selling products then?
It's a regular chair. I think people are willing to pay around the 2,000, 2,500 Czech crowns. So that means it's called Norma. But it's basic chair with wooden back part, very comfortable. And this chair still selling a couple of 10,000 pieces a year.
The Tonetka still enjoys instant recognition in the Czech Republic, even though it's no longer Ton's best-selling chair, while most Czechs would probably not know what a Norma chair is. Amid the difficult economy and big chains taking away from the company's sales, what are Mr. Dostalík's hopes for the company's future?
I think the best is to, if we are operating, or next year we will be in the business 150 years, so why not to double the period?
And what are Nadia Chernar's hopes when it comes to furnishing her apartment, a process that still hasn't finished?
I think I have my own ways, so that's why it's slow and it's taking time, but I think this is your flat. You are going to live here for like many years ahead, so you should feel comfortable. So that's it.
Nadia Černá, a Prague resident, talking there in our latest edition of Czech Life, hosted by Sara Borůvka. And if you have any comments on that story or would just like to tell us how you furnish your home or are looking for some interesting items, do write to us here at Radio Prague, english@radio.cz. I'm Jan Wellinger for all of us here at the station. Thanks so much for joining in and enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque Onde Courte. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kilohertz. Six heures vingt-sept, Europe de l'Ouest, 5930. 7h30, 7h57, Europe du Sud-Ouest, Afrique du Nord-Ouest, 11600. 13h30, 13h57, Afrique du Nord-Ouest, 11600. 16h30, 16h57, Europe de l'Ouest, 9740. 18h30, 18h57, Europe de l'Ouest, 5930. 22h, 22h27, Amérique du Nord, 9440. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute également sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz, puis choisir le français en haut de la page d'accueil. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site internet www.radio.cz/français.